M32. Number 4A.
Yes, we go on with making some exercises on the levels so as to get used to the tonality of it. We take another problem that is always under discussion in everyday life, and that's the problem of evil. So we take evil as another subject, and now we consider how from those various levels we really handle the question of evil. How would we handle the question of evil from the level of science itself? There is none evil, yes, so you could say there is no evil, or if you handle it, perhaps you would see that it is unknown, which is the same thing, Sylvia, but just perhaps put it more direct to the category, so that if we have a problem of evil and we say let's deal with it from the point of view of science itself, we would have to say to us, evil is unknown to that state of consciousness. See where God says, I don't know anything about evil. My eyes are too pure to behold evil. I don't know what you're talking about. If we approach him with all our problems, he says, I just can't hear you, what you say. This is something that is absolutely unknown to me. Again, we must be very practical in this approach, and therefore not just say because God is of pure eyes to behold evil that we just leave it as what it is, or we leave a question in suspense, so to say, in a vacuum, and that doesn't do anything good, but that does really even more to evil, because evil left alone can grow and becomes bigger and bigger in our consciousness. So we have to handle the evil, but not on the from the basis here in science that we battle with evil, but that we fill our consciousness naturally with the facts of being. That we fill consciousness and say all there is actually mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love, and we fill our consciousness with the tonality of that which is good, and in that way there is no possibility for evil to enter. Nothing can flow inward, because everything is filled with good, with the ideas of God, with the seven synonymous terms. So we must always be aware that we are not just, wiping evil under the carpet or... Sweeping, yeah, under the carpet so that we don't see it. Apparently this is an expression of a good housewife, that she puts all the dust under the carpet instead of picking it up. So that's a very good illustration that we like to do that sometimes too, and just say, oh, well, there is no evil, you know, God knows no evil, and for God evil is unknown. No, that's not that. We have to fill our consciousness with good and very consciously be conscious of God as good in all its ramification and expressions. All right, now we come to the level of divine science. Again, what would we see there? Exclusion. Yeah, we would see that evil is excluded. Can you see that it has a realm sense? We always say when we come to divine science, we must have a kind of a realm. Now, if I exclude something, naturally, I must have it first in a realm, and I exclude it from that realm. Quite different then from the level of science itself. There it is unknown. You see, it hasn't a realm in which it can be present. So there is no sense of that we can exclude evil. It's just not known. Is that clear? That's quite a great difference between those two. That it is not the same to say, well, evil is unknown or evil is excluded. It really indicates those different levels. In divine science, you always have a sense of all-inclusiveness, of a level, of a realm sense. And therefore, here, you say evil has no room in being, has no place in being. It is excluded. How would we, in a treatment or in solving a problem, how would we see that, how evil is excluded? What would go on in our consciousness? How would we go about it? What would you think? Yes, but that we have done also on the level of science itself. Huh? Is that we fill our consciousness with good, huh? with reality. That we have done also on the level of science itself, because there we just have said the evil is not known, so I know only good. But here it is not so much I don't know evil, but evil is excluded. What does that mean in our consciousness? Frank?
Could it be because of the allness of good in divine science, which within this allness of good, you would naturally exclude?
Yeah. Yes, it naturally excludes. Now, if you would give yourself a treatment about the problem, how would you think about it? Would you just think, well, good is included and the evil is excluded? Yeah?
Well, yeah. Because all is good.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
can be no evil included.
Yeah.
In
yeah. Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
Isn't the difference between the treatment in science and divine science that you stress on divine science exclusion of evil?
Yes. Yes. You stress it, yeah? And how can you stress it? Yes, actually.
Reverse those two points.
Yeah.
Reverse the positive.
Yeah.
The negative.
Yeah. All right.
The counterfeit.
Example.
Well, if you are going through mind, for instance,
yeah.
Mind is operating itself from out of its own mind.
Yeah. For instance, huh? You see, the moment you show that something is positive, that you say mind operates out of its own mind and only knows its own mind, therefore you can say what is excluded is therefore it is excluded that mind operates from human thinking, from human opinion, or you can stress, you see, that the opposite of mind, namely mortal mind, human opinions, human thinking, is excluded. Therefore, whatever exclusion you want to choose has no room in this divine mind, has no place in this divine mind, has no power, no channel, nor law, nor activity in this divine mind. So you stress, really, the exclusion of it. Huh? Can you see, it goes just one step further than the level of science itself, which just knows that mind only knows itself. But when you come to divine science, then you have excluded through consciousness. You have excluded and say, therefore the opposite has no room in it, has no place in it, has no power in it, has no activity in it, has no opportunity in it, has no channel in it, has no voice in it, cannot speak. You begin to show that evil, the opposite of the synonym, has no place, no room in this divine mind. And so in this way you accentuate and stress much more that the opposite just is not there. Again, as Frank, you said, you see, it is, or whoever it was, it is the isness of God. So the exclusion is that the opposite just is not. And that naturally enforces your treatment. We can see that we do that for the sake of our human approach, because we have only to correct it in our human understanding. We don't have to correct it in God's consciousness, because God's consciousness is okay, it doesn't need to do that. But it's always that we stress it within our consciousness so that we are strengthened in the truth. We strengthen ourselves in the truth by excluding the opposite, and exclude it by seeing that it has just no, and then you go on, no room in the divine mind, no place in the divine mind, no channel in the divine mind, no law in the divine mind, it has no power therein, no activity therein, and you just kill it off as having no place.
Well, that takes care of your consciousness. How about the other consciousness? Does that take care of that?
Yes, sure. What you do in this law, you see, you exclude generically evil. If you begin to see, well, in divine science, God or mind only operates out of itself, only operates according to its own infinite idea, to its infinite conception of the idea, that the divine mind has only its own idea and its own aim to which everything is directed. Therefore, in the divine mind, and I stay quite generically, therefore in that divine mind, there can be no mortal mind, there can be no human mind that can operate therein, that can have power therein, that can work therein, that can act therein, that can have any channel therein, that can speak therein, that can be heard therein. You can go on and on and on, just wiping out generically that mortal mind with all its claims has no room there. Under room I mean more than just a spatial room, but anything that wants to fill up the space or the space of the realm, that wants to fill up the realm of divine mind. So you consciously exclude generically that there is such a possibility as. Okay. Then if we go further to the level of absolute Christian science, how do we handle evil there? Do we still say, well, evil has nothing, is nothing? Or how would we handle evil there? Yes, Marjorie? I don't know if anybody has understood you with your gentle voice. Nobody has understood it, but I repeat it for you. You said that evil must be treated here not as something, but as a misunderstanding of good. So that's the way it is handled here. It's still a positive problem, you see, that you begin to see that evil is a misunderstanding, and therefore you deal with it as a misunderstanding. Therefore, not really as a sickness or as a disaster or as a disharmony or anything like that. You go to the root of those discords and see that it is only something that is a misunderstanding of good.
Is that different then from a false belief?
That's difficult to answer. Yes and no. It's the same as a false belief, as a belief, but not as a concrete error. A belief that has taken up a concrete form, where evil shows itself forth, say, as a discord of any kind, bodily, mentally, psychologically, or anything like that, financially, or whatever it is. Here it is just a supposition, actually, it's a supposition that there can be something else beside what we have established on the level of science and of divine science. So we handle the suppositional belief, and not so much the concrete form of belief like a disease. Yes.
Now, could you state also that because on this level we're dealing with the consciousness of truth, that it is a factual. It's non-factual. A misunderstanding would be something that's non-factual, and the consciousness of truth is all that is factual?
Yes. You can say that, but you have to be aware, huh, that what you say right now is very much what we were saying on the level of divine science, where we said that the opposite is not a fact, has no place, has no power, has no law. Huh? And so here it's much more to see that you have to deal with evil within the realm of misunderstanding good. Huh? That it is good misunderstood. Huh? Yes.
Wouldn't you say it's more with a specific fact?
Also that, you handle here specific evil, huh? Yes.
Truth is a scanner and it will give you what you need when you need it.
Absolutely. Truth is the ideal that translates itself here to the specific truth. Huh? That's the understanding of it. Huh? And a specific evil is a misunderstanding of that specific truth. So in that way you get here the way of handle evil. So you take here, you don't take so much the generic sense of the claim of evil, but much more the specific claim. And you say, well, I analyze the whole situation, and I analyze it specifically and see that its claim or its supposition, let's say its claim, is actually only misunderstanding the good, huh? The specific truth. So you would say, handle here specific error. Yeah. How would we handle perhaps evil on the level of Christian science? Now, you always have to reason things out, not to think, well, how would it do it and how can I guess it? Huh? You have just to reason it out gently and say, well, Christian science is always the relationship between the positive and the negative. Then, therefore, how do I handle evil? Evil is a negative, so I have to handle it through the relationship of the positive to the negative. How would I handle it, therefore, on the level of Christian science?
By destroying
it. By destroying evil, but how?
You'd measure it according to the seven synoptic terms.
Yeah, well, good over evil. Whatever under good is to be understood, under good can actually be understood, the seven synonymous term, the ideas of the seven synonymous term, but the method is to use the good over evil. Huh? That's what is the general method, usually in a religion or in Christian science, that you say, that means you say, overcome evil with good. Huh? So it's an overcoming, huh? And it's no more, can you see, it's an overcoming, it's no more actually what we have seen on the level of science itself, where we say, I don't know evil, huh? Or where we, on the level of divine science, we said, well, evil is excluded, huh? Or on the level of absolute Christian science, where we say, well, evil is actually nothing else but good, when good is misunderstood. So I better understand the good about the specific evil. But when you come to the level of Christian science, Mrs. Eddy would ask us to overcome evil with good. And that's something different. Do you see that they change from one level to the next? That actually different laws, different methods of dealing are indicated with each level. It's not that we can use just the same law on every level, but that we need those different laws. And those different laws, yeah, this is maybe an interesting question that I can ask, you see, that I can say, now, which method do you choose? You have the same thing, a problem of evil. We had in that same column, a problem of evil. Now, can you choose from which level you want to deal with it? You have four possibilities here. Now, can you choose it? Or can't you choose it? Is there something forcible about the method to be used? Do you understand my question?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It would be divine mind reading coming to you and telling you which level to go to, and you could just flow from one level to the other, depending on what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think, Mary, that's quite true, that it is the divine mind reading that tells us. It's not our choosing. It's not our choosing that I say, well, I start from the top, you know. Most say, well, I start from the top and I stay on the top. I want never to go down. How would you answer my question otherwise? Yes?
I would say that it depends upon what is the big question that comes up in your thinking when you consider that problem.
Yes?
You might immediately think, well, can this evil be real? Or can this evil apply to me? Whatever the big question that needs to be answered in your own consciousness.
Yes?
Immediately determine which level you would go to.
Yes? That's a bit similar to what Mary said, that there is a higher mind that would determine which level you would go to. Would you think of something else to ask, Fred? Sorry.
Well, it could be either positive or negative. If it came to you as a positive answer, you might not even need to know what the negative suggestion was. But if it comes to you as a negative suggestion, then you would have the positive.
Well, evil always comes to us as a negative, and we have the question of evil here. And we have the question of evil that shows itself to human consciousness and says, here is something evil, do something about it. Now,
what you refer to as the angels and the devil in one take, when you're working with the chart, your answers for the solution would either come as an angel or a devil, and that was what I had
in
the back of my mind.
Yes. Sylvia, you want to say something?
Well, just as where you have to be at the time, where you are in consciousness. Sometimes something can come to you and you just know it's nothing. It's just so quick. And sometimes it can be you're somewhere else, so you really have to work at it.
Yeah. I think that comes pretty near to what it is. Say, I could put the question otherwise. I could say, now, any problem presents itself to us, to the individual. Can he deal with it from the level of science itself when he does not know the tonality of the synonyms? Now, it is therefore a question, what Sylvia said, where are you in your consciousness? Have you actually present consciousness of the level consciousness? Is actually your consciousness so still and so at rest and so cultured that you can go out from science itself? Namely, that you can really that it is really real to consciousness to think just in terms that mind knows itself as mind and therefore does not know anything else. That spirit is conscious of itself as spirit and only as spirit, the tonality of spirit, the whole of spirit, the totality of spirit, and there is nothing else. Do we have that consciousness? Or do we only have a thinking way of it? That determines very much from which level we practice. And so it is actually so that it is a question of our inward culture of the system. We cannot start with science, practice from the level of science itself when we have not attained that consciousness. See, and it's not a living, present state of consciousness. We cannot practice from that point. We can naturally think from that standpoint, but it doesn't do a trick. So the choosing of the level is actually determined by our inward spiritual growth. Or, and that's what Sylvia also wants to say, it is also so that even if sometimes we touch divine science in consciousness, or perhaps even sometimes science level in consciousness, sometimes we are not always there. We are not always there. We too are not yet there where nothing can touch us anymore. We are still on the way, and therefore it depends very often on our present state of consciousness. So sometimes the patient reaches us, and we ourselves may be in trouble, or we ourselves may have to work out something, and so we have to pull up our socks first ourselves, and we are not on the level of science or of divine science. Sorry.